Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. The Old Testament reading for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost is from Amos chapter 5. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many of your transgressions and how great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 3. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever just felt worn out with the world around you? Frustrated that things just don't seem to be getting any better? Tired from having to always fight the good fight of the faith? Does it ever just seem like there is this malaise hanging over your spirituality, and that no matter what you do, it won't go away? A great many people feel that way, especially when they think about how Christianity is faring in America right now. What we know from the past, though, is that that malaise, that weariness, can lead to problems for the unbeliever, or for the believer, that is. In our epistle text for today, the author of Hebrews speaks to us of the consequences of such malaise, and also gives us a way to combat that weariness. We're not actually sure who wrote the book of Hebrews, but we do know who it was written to. This book is written to the Hebrews, that is, the Jews. Those who knew the Old Testament and who had once followed the laws and rules of the Old Covenant. Which means that in Hebrews, which we're going to be in for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking a lot about the Old Testament, because that was the context of the people who were being written to. Here in our section for today, the author focuses particularly on the people of Israel right after they had left Egypt and were wandering around in the wilderness. And that's one of the places that we can see what that constant malaise, that constant weariness can do to a person's heart. Listen, therefore, as Hebrews speaks to us of unbelieving hearts. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Take care. The Greek word here is actually the idea of doing this with your sight. So it's like, keep an eye on, watch out for, lest there be an unbelieving heart, an evil one, that's leading you to fall away from the living God. And so, keep an eye on yourself. It's hard to do sometimes. It's hard to seriously look inside of yourself, look at your own heart, and to make a judgment about your heart. How are you doing? Are you doing okay? Are you getting weary? Are you dealing with that malaise that's kind of being talked about here? Are you on fire? There's responses that you can have to each one of those. But also, do recognize that this isn't something that you have to do alone. It says, exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today. Which, in case you don't get it, every day is called today. Right? Every day. Exhort, and exhort probably isn't actually the word that I would use here. I would actually probably use the word encourage. Encourage one another every single day. Every day that's called today, which is to say, do it now, because today isn't yesterday, and today isn't tomorrow. Today is today. In part, the wonderful gift of the church, of the congregation, is that we have people who are there for the express purpose of encouraging you, and people that you are able to encourage, people who you can help when they're feeling that weariness, when they're feeling that malaise and that frustration. And if you don't do that, if you don't take care of each other, if you don't take care of yourself, if you don't keep an eye on each other, then what can happen is that we can be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Just imagine for a second if you come to church and you're just tired and weary and you just want to come and sit down and just listen maybe sing a song or two and go away. But then the first thing that happens when you come in is that somebody comes in and they say, "Gosh, you just look down today. You need to be more pepped up." Is that going to help? Or would it be more helpful for somebody to come up to you and say, "Hey, you're looking a little bit tired. Can I pray for you? Is it okay if I sit by you? Do you want to go out for coffee? Or do you want to go to the cafe later this week and we can talk?" This isn't talking about that kind of superficial level of encouragement. The kind that's oftentimes just with words but not actually with your actions. This encouragement is the kind where you see somebody who is having this weariness, who's frustrated with life, who's angry at the world around you, and you go and you join them in that. You sit in that with them to encourage them, to be with them, to help them. This is part of what it means to share in Christ, to share in his body. And you see this when it gives, why do we do any of this in our reading for today? It says, "For we have come to share in Christ." And when it says, "For we have come to him," right? This isn't necessarily saying that you have actually come to Christ, although now that we are believers, you can do that. This is more of the, "For we have come," as in, this just happened to happen to us, and so you should take advantage of it. If indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. That confidence is key here in Hebrews, and it'll come up frequently in the book. Being confident of that which you have heard from the beginning. Being confident of the baptism that you were baptized into. Of the word that speaks to you even now. And of the sacrament that will come to you momentarily. The author of Hebrews here then gives us an example of what happens when you don't do that. As our text continues, "As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief." I think oftentimes when we think of the rebellion of the Israelites, that we usually think of their actions, which is to say that they go after other gods, or they do something that God told them not to do, or they don't do something that God did tell them to do. And as with all things, that is how our beliefs express themselves, right? If we believe, our faith will express itself by doing good works and by not doing bad works. And if we don't believe, that will also express itself in sin. And so the rebellion here that is being spoken of is a great example of this, because they heard. And perhaps another example for us is, remember, these are the people who actually saw the 10 plagues live and in color right in front of them. They saw the plague of darkness. They saw the various animals that came up, the frogs, the flies. They saw the people with boils. They saw the Passover. They even saw the crossing of the Red Sea, when the Red Sea just split for them. They saw the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. They saw all these things, and they heard who it was. They heard about the one who was doing all of these great miracles for them. And yet, these are also the ones who provoked Moses time and time and time again, who kept on disobeying God time and time and time again in the desert. The very people who had seen arguably the greatest miracles of the Old Testament are the ones who were the most disobedient of them all. And why were they this disobedient? Why were those people not allowed to enter the promised land? It's not because they were disobedient. It's because they didn't believe. And I don't mean to say that they didn't believe that God was real. Because I don't know about you, but if I'm seeing pillars of clouds and pillars of fire and the 10 plagues, I'm not doubting that God is real. That wasn't an issue in the Old Testament. Everyone believed in gods. That wasn't the problem. The problem was, did they trust him? Did they trust him to follow through on what he said he was going to do? Did they trust him when he said, "Don't do this because it's bad for you"? Or did they go right ahead and do it anyways, sometimes because God told them not to do it? The people in the wilderness were unable to enter the rest of the promised land because they didn't trust God. They didn't trust that he would take care of them, like he said. And so, how do we avoid that? How do we make sure that we don't fall into the same trap that the people in the wilderness fell into? What is the solution to that weariness that comes from not trusting in God? If the solution to that malaise, if the problem to that malaise is that people don't trust in God, it should hopefully be fairly clear that the solution to that problem is faith, is actually trusting in God. And so then, if that's the solution, if that spiritual weariness and that frustration can be countered by faith, the question then is, how do we strengthen our faith? How do we get better at trusting in our Lord? And the answer is not what most people think it is. A great many people will tell you that you just have to make the choice to believe, which is pretty much saying that you can will yourself into being a stronger believer. And maybe that works for some things, but we know from Scripture that it doesn't work very well at all for faith. Other people will tell you that you just need to do more good works. That is to say, that you can essentially work yourself into a stronger faith. And now, make no mistake, as you heard in James all last month, works are an integral part of faith. A faith that has no works is almost certainly not a healthy faith. However, that doesn't mean that good works actually strengthen your faith. Some people will also say that you just need to go and experience God, which is another way of saying that you need to create a certain feeling inside of you, and that feeling will strengthen your faith. And again, make no mistake, those times are awesome, and they're great, and they're good, but they tend to not last. They tend to be temporary highs that oftentimes result in longer-lasting lows. So, if it's not that you can make a choice, if it's not that you can work yourself into it, if it's not that you can just go and experience some sort of mountaintop experience that makes you feel good, what is it that strengthens your faith? Our text for today tells us of two things that can strengthen our faith. And the first I already talked about a little bit. By being encouraged or exhorted by your brothers and sisters in Christ. Another way that the Bible talks about this is as the mutual consolation of the brethren. Really, what it comes down to, though, is this: being reminded that you're not alone. One of the things that sin does to you is that it convinces you that you are all alone, that there is no one who understands, who believes as you do, no one who cares about the same things that you care about. And this is part of the deceitfulness of sin. You are not alone. Everyone here in this building right now cares for you. They all want the best for you, even if they express it oddly sometimes. We all want to see you with us in paradise with our Savior for eternity. Therefore, when you're feeling that malaise, that weariness, one of the things you can do is to be with your fellow Christians and allow them to raise you up. The second thing that you can do, according to our text for today, is to share in Christ. The Greek word there could also be translated as partake in Christ, which is another way of saying receiving the gifts that Christ earned for you on the cross. When Christ died on the cross for you and rose for you, he earned your forgiveness for you, your salvation. He also gave you ways to be with him and in him. And primarily, those ways are through the Word and the sacrament. To put it simply, if you're feeling weary and frustrated with your spirituality, if that malaise is hanging over you like it was over the Israelites in the wilderness, then go be with Jesus. Be where Jesus has promised to be. Listen to his word where he tells you how much he cares for you, how much he cares for the world and all that he's done for us all. Remember your baptism, where you were adopted by God, declared his children, and empowered to live lives as his children, lives as light in this dark world. Receive his body and blood, which nourishes your faith, strengthening you to get you through this life, and rooting you in that sure foundation of our Lord's sacrifice for us. You don't have to live under the malaise of sin and unbelief. God has given us ways to get out from under that, and instead to live lives under the peace and joy that God has established for you. Our regular worship services and Bible studies are there in order to deliver these gifts to you. But if that doesn't seem like it's enough, if it seems like you need something more, I encourage you to come and talk to me. Or if you want, I can come and talk to you at your home. Allow me to help you work through your struggle. Allow me to pray for the specific things that you need help with. Allow me to do the thing that you, in God, through you, has called me to do in your lives. Christ gave all of us to each other in order that we might encourage each other. We are all here to take care of each other and to help each other live in this world. How great will it be when we are able to spend eternity with each other and with our Savior, who has brought all of us together and made us all into one body. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.